Hey, hey, it's Shay Keister, and I'm your host for the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast, where we connect you to ranchers and beef industry enthusiasts who can help you build a more profitable operation and improve your lifestyle. Are you looking for a community of ranchers who support and challenge you to be more profitable and proactive? Then sign up for our monthly Rancher Mind events. Rancher Minds are mastermind events for ranchers to come together once a month and find solutions for their own and the industry's challenges. Stay connected by following Cattle Convos on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and never miss an episode or event update by signing up for our newsletter on casualcattleconversations.com/newsletter. If you get value out of this episode or any episode, drop a comment or tip me by using the link in the show notes. With that, let's see who our guest is today and connect you to a new resource to improve your own operation and lifestyle. Alrighty, folks, thank you for hopping on the show today. It is great to have you on here again. You know, everything I said in the little intro beforehand, please go do it. Whether that's a rating, you following me on social media, et cetera, I'd love to meet you. Hop on one of my Rancher Mind calls. Those are going great. But two other things I'm going to mention quick before we hop into this episode. One, please go check out my ranching resources page on my website. It has some different businesses and technology for you to take a look at to improve your own operation and lifestyle. Two, if you're looking for a public speaker at any event, whether that is entrepreneurship, podcasting, even college entrepreneurship or entrepreneurship within the beef industry, you name it, or advocacy, I'm doing a few of those this year. I've really enjoyed it and I'd love to come connect with you and your audience as well. But with that, today we are visiting with Greg Barfield. Now, Greg does not come from a background in the beef industry, but he has really become interested and in a sense passionate about our industry to the point where he has worked with a team to develop a company that handles blockchain technology, or in a sense serves as a provider for that. Now, that company is called BlockTrust, but what Greg is going to talk about is he is really going to share how blockchain works. Now, I'm really excited for this because while I know some of the basics, I'd really like to, you know, just get it simplified. We're going to ask a few other questions, dive into it a little more just to get a better grasp on what blockchain is, how it works, and what that really means for you as a cattle producer. So come along for the rest of this episode and let's see what Greg has to share with us today. All right, Greg, well, thank you for joining me on the show today. I know I've been excited to talk with you about this for a while, even really before we got it nailed down that a podcast would be an opportunity for both of us. So thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I've heard a lot about your podcast and I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. So I know that we've obviously had our chances to visit, but I'd really like you to share with the audience, you know, what attracted you to the beef industry, or where did that start come for you?
Well, we actually developed a blockchain-based project for the National Bison Association. I have a good friend that's the president of the Bison Association, and we did that, and that led me to the beef industry, which obviously is a much larger footprint than bison, and so here I am.
Okay, so what... Do you want to talk a little bit more about your role in the industry, expand on that a little more? What are you doing today, et cetera?
Sure. We're software developers. Okay. I didn't grow up in the beef industry, but, you know, as they say here in Texas, got here as fast as I can. And our flagship product is a blockchain-based transparency system for the beef supply chain. And our goal is to add value to the producers. We feel that if the producers are able to share their data on a secure, easy to use platform, they would get better value out of their product.
Okay, well, that's really neat. And I think, you know, just to give our listeners a little background, what we're really going to be talking about is Greg is going to explain what blockchain is, what that technology is, and what that means to producers and consumers, really, because, you know, it's a buzzword right now, I would say. It gets brought up in a lot of different conversations, and, you know, it's being brought up in the beef industry a lot as well. So I'm excited to really talk about blockchain and have you explain that to us. So for those of you who are just listening to the audio format, Greg right now has some slideshow or a slideshow pulled up to walk through and explain things. So we will work through some of these visuals on the audio format, but the video recording will also be available too, and I'll make sure you have a link to that. But with that, Greg, do you just kind of want to talk about, you know, what is the most simplistic definition of blockchain? Or maybe you do want to start with what the beef industry looks like as a whole. I'm going to kind of hand it over to you a little bit because you have the best way to explain what blockchain is.
Right. So let me explain it during my slide presentation, okay? Because I have a way to explain it I think will make more sense in light of the beef supply chain. So if it's okay with you, why don't we just start going through that?
Awesome. So with that, Greg, would you please explain, you know, what is blockchain?
Oh, so simply put, blockchain is a system of recording information in a secure fashion that can't be changed and can't be hacked. Okay, so it's what we call in this business, what we call immutable, which means it can't be changed. And that's one aspect of blockchain. Another aspect is the fact that it's decentralized, which means the data is not kept on a central server, because anytime you have data kept on a central server, then there's a possibility that somebody can break in and hack it. It's actually kept, it's called decentralized because it's kept on nodes, which are on computers all over the place. And so it's immutable and it's decentralized, but essentially it's acts as a mechanism of trust, which means that it's a way that people can trust the data that is out there. And it's honestly it's the reason that cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin can retain their value, is because there's a mechanism of trust that everybody knows it's true is in the middle of the transaction. So if that's there, then that means that transaction is true. And so that's how the Bitcoin retains its value.
You know, and thank you for explaining that, but then bringing up the cryptocurrency factor. So oftentimes blockchain does get associated with cryptocurrency, but that's not saying that just because blockchain is in the beef industry, we will have to operate on cryptocurrency, correct? The two are separate.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. Blockchain is the underlying technology of all cryptocurrencies, but it's also used for a lot of other purposes. Mainly, it's a great use in any kind of supply chain, whether that be, anything from diamonds to cars to anything that's an asset that needs to be tracked. This keeps an immutable record of that, and that can't be changed. So you can only add records to a blockchain. You can't edit the records or take records off. So it's sort of like accounting. Whereas you can't change a general ledger entry if you want to. I mean, you can't erase a general ledger entry, but if you want to change it, you would have to make an adjusting entry. So that's what you do with blockchain. And so you always know that the records are accurate and you have an accurate paper trail with all the records.
Well, awesome. And now that you've kind of provided that basis, would you go through some of these slides for us and really talk to us and explain it in that fashion?
Sure. So the slide that's up right now is the beef supply chain. And I know a lot of your listeners already know this, but it helps me explain it. So if you can just bear with me. Over on the left side of the screen, you have your cow-calf operations, your cow-calf ranches, and then it goes through the background or stockers, then onto the feedlots. And from the feedlots, it goes to the processor and then to the retailer. All along the way, in these what I call silos, or they're different sectors of the beef supply chain, you have data that gets accumulated here, because each of these sectors has some very good software. The problem is that the supply chain is so fragmented, especially down here at the ranch and farm grazing operations, that there's no secure, easy platform in order to allow them to share data. So whatever data gets accumulated in the sector usually stays in the sector. When it's such a huge industry, I believe it's probably one of the few industries in the world where you're not able to share data from one end of the supply chain all the way to the other end. And that's important because, for instance, a lot of value happens here at the processor, but yet that whole process starts way down here on the ranch. But usually when that cow leaves the ranch, they don't ever see it again. They have no idea how it graded out or anything. So carcass data is important to the rancher. Another reason is here at the feedlot where a lot of these feeders are buying cattle from the ranches. And they don't have any verifiable individual data to use to make their purchasing decisions. And with a lot of these private supply chains, these value chains like, you know, Walmart and Costco and, you know, Wendy's, McDonald's, they're looking for very specific characteristics of the cattle that they want to purchase. And without the verifiable data, it's hard to find those cattle. And then here at the supermarket, it's really, really kind of a no-brainer because the consumers are looking for a way to tell that story. They want a story with their beef. Well, without a platform like this, it's really impossible to tell the story because there's no way to break into this very fragmented system. So the problem is that the data is not visible between the different sectors of the supply chain or to the consumer. So what companies like ours and other companies out there have developed are software agnostic livestock transparency platforms that are built on blockchain. So here in this diagram, the ball in the middle represents what we do, and the icons on the outside represent the different sectors of the beef supply chain. What we do, we sort of act like the superhighway of transactions, whereas we don't build the software for any of these sectors out here, but we act as the sort of traffic cops to make sure the data gets shared with the parties that have permission to see the data. So you might say, that's great, but why would you use blockchain? Okay, the reason you use blockchain is because these days with the internet and social media and, you know, news everywhere, anyone can print or post whatever they want to promote their personal agenda. And it's not just a problem in this industry, it's a problem worldwide in any industry. It's a information overload, and it gets out there and then it gets spread around and then people start believing it. So blockchain actually acts as a mechanism of trust, which means that if it goes on the blockchain, it's a mechanism that people agree that the information is true. So what exactly is blockchain? Okay, so blockchain is an electronic ledger that provides a detailed history of interactions between parties that can't be altered, as we explained before. That means it's immutable. It's also decentralized, which means it's not sitting on one server that can be hacked. Okay, so that's what it is. Think of a ledger like a spreadsheet, right? It's just rows and columns of data that's in electronic format. Now, to be fair, I'd like to explain all sort of like what blockchain's not. Okay, so there won't be any misconceptions. It's not meant to be a replacement for a traditional database. It's a platform to store transactions. It's not a truth machine. Okay, so if it were a truth machine, we'd put all the politicians out of business, right? False information can be put on a blockchain, We can't control that, but you know, if you put any false information on there, it's going to stay on forever, and it's likely that somebody up and down the chain will call you out on it. Okay, it's not a standalone system either. There needs to be an overlying sort of control mechanism to turn, you know, gibberish into, you know, language that people can understand, which is the reason Bitcoin can't work without these programs like Coinbase and some of these programs that actually act as the wallet for the cryptocurrency.
Yeah, and thank you for explaining that. I think it's important to really know how secure this is and, you know, exactly what is it and how does that work.
Right. So that's what I'm going to explain here. Now, this is probably the most geeky part of my presentation here. So if you bear with me, blockchain is literally a chain of blocks. Okay. So you see, if you can, for those of that are watching on the screen, these are actually blocks of data that would be represented in a blockchain. And so you basically have five fields here in each block. Okay. So you start out with, let's relate this to cattle. Say you scan an ear tag, okay? So that data from this ear tag scan goes into this block, and it's block zero, and it's what's called the genesis block because it's the first block, okay? And then you have an index, that's your first field, and it's a sequential number across all the blocks. Then you have a timestamp. Timestamp's very important because all the blocks are arranged in chronological order. And if they're out of order, it won't work. Okay, then you have your data, and we can put whatever data we want on here. We have just a little bit of data in this example, an ID, latitude, longitude, but you could put, you know, video, you know, any kind of data you want in the data section. Then you have what's called a hash, which is a very long alphanumeric number that you would never ever be able to remember, which is the part that makes this secure, because you, for it to work, you have to have that hash, and then the next block has its own hash but also has the previous hash. Okay, and then take the block all the way down the chain. When each one of these blocks get updated, all of the blocks in the node automatically get updated. So every node has its own copy of the entire blockchain. Now, I would like to say, when you talk about privacy, is that this is what's called a private blockchain. Okay, I don't want people to think that it's sort of like the internet, whereas your data is just out there. Okay. There's different types of blockchain, and this is called a private or permissioned blockchain. So you have to have permission to be on the blockchain, unlike a public blockchain like Bitcoin, is that anybody can use that. Okay, so this is a private blockchain where you have to have a username and password, and you have to have the proper permissions to get on it. And it's not like the internet where it's one big blockchain. Okay, you could have multiple blockchains. Like you could have your own little blockchain. Like you have, for instance, a feed yard you like to use and a packer you like to use. Well, you could have just you and the feed yard and the packer, all three of you in your own little blockchain. Okay, it doesn't have to be, you know, the whole world to see it. If you don't want, it's whoever you want to see it can see it. Now, do you have any questions on that, Shay?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, thank you. I mean, I appreciate you going through and really showing these visuals in it. Like, I'm just going to emphasize that if you are on the audio, please find that video link, because these visuals help it make a lot more sense. But, you know, being able to show, you know, the individual blocks and how those play into nodes, but really, excuse me, I appreciate you talking about how you know, you're in charge of your information. Like, you do have a say. It's not where the whole world has access to that information just because it's on a blockchain, because I know security is one of the concerns that many people have about sharing your information through sectors.
That's right. It's probably the most prevalent question we get every day is privacy and security, and rightly so. And I want to, you know, that's why I want to make sure everybody's comfortable with this. But it's an opt-in system. I mean, you agreed to share your data in return for getting data back because you're going to get greater value out of it. You know, so our whole goal is to provide greater value for the producers. So how is it used in the livestock industry? Well, mainly in supply chain functions right now, you know, making the data visible to the participants of the beef supply chain and sharing the data, you know, traceability issues. Cattle Trace is a big partner of ours. They're on a mission to make sure that disease traceability is in place in case there's a disease outbreak. And they like us because we provide some value to the cattle tag. And without that, a lot of producers can't find a good reason to put the tags on. And so we're great partners and really am proud of our relationship with Cattle Trace. And these days, everyone's trying to tell a story, you know, and so this gives a mechanism to tell the story. The data is there. And if you're part of this, then you're able to share your data as much or little of it as you want. Now, future uses of the livestock industry, I will have to say that honestly, these things are actually going on right now. They're in the future because they're, you know, forward-thinking practices, but they're actually being used right now. Asset verification, there's financial institutions out there that are using this to verify their assets. For instance, if you lend money to a rancher and they use the cattle for collateral, then the bank wants to know that the cattle are real, that they're there. And so if they have tags on them and they're tracked on a blockchain, then that gives them some peace of mind and can give, you know, for instance, better terms on financing. The second one here, environmental practices, is huge these days because of, you know, the big buzzword in the industry is sustainability. And so everybody is working on these ways to track sustainability. And you hear about carbon credits and you hear about sustainable practices. Well, all that has to be tracked. And so if data is put onto the blockchain, you know that the data is real, and that you know that a lot of the claims have more validity because they're being tracked, you know. So if you have claims that have value, you know, whether that be sustainability claims or you know, grass-fed or no hormones or antibiotic-free or whatever, and there's value attached to those claims, you're going to have claims coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, right? So if you have so many claims out there, eventually people will say, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've heard that before. So they need to be tracked using a mechanism that everybody trusts. And so that's why blockchain is a good mechanism for that. Then over here, tokenization. This is what usually makes people's eyes glaze over when I start talking about it. It's a little bit out there, but you're hearing more and more about it. You've heard of NFTs. Probably NFTs are very popular these days. And the way to explain it, tokenization, is sort of like when you go into a casino and they give you chips that are representative of your money. Okay, so they don't want a bunch of money stacked up all over the place. So they give you these chips, but the chips represent real money. Okay, so they're tokens. Okay, same way with this is that we could turn an animal into a token. Okay, and then you could do things with it like trade it, You can invest in it. You can invest in, let's say you want to invest in 10% of each animal on the ranch. Okay. And then you could, that's called investing in a token. And then you could track the animal all the way up with the supply chain and realize the gains at the end. Okay. That's one way to think about it. But there's companies out there that are making cattle into NFTs, right? And then tokenizing those and verifying them with those methods. Really exciting. And I do think it's the way of the future. So the bottom line is, for the rancher, you know, why should I get involved in this? Okay, well, the main thing is that we feel that we can give the rancher greater market access to some of these private supply chains if he's on, because the supply chains are looking for better data attached to the assets that they purchase, which is the cattle. Okay. So adding verifiable data to the cattle will, you know, equal greater value. And so that's the bottom line. In addition to that, though, you can get carcass data back from the other end of the chain, which can help you improve your practices. And we feel that, you know, as more and more people start using this, the quality is going to go up, and the ones that will benefit are the producers, because they will have a platform to be able to show their hard work. And I mean, they're doing great things with genetics and health and nutrition, and a lot of times that goes unnoticed. And so we're giving them a platform to be able to show that data and to get noticed in the market. So we've talked about privacy and security. The main thing is that it's an opt-in system. Okay, we feel that we want producers to know what they're getting into, if they're interested, they can get on board with this. You know, they have complete control over who sees their data in most of these systems and in portals or control panels. And we make sure privacy and security are upfront every day in this thing, because that's what most people are concerned about. So people usually say, how do I get involved? And the first thing we always say is tag your cattle. That's the most important thing. We found out that only about 5% of the cattle are showing up in feed yards with electronic IDs. And we feel that if they use platforms like this, then they would be more inclined to tag their cattle and add value to that cattle tag. So that's the presentation. Do you have any questions?
Well, excuse me. Apparently I got a little frog in my throat, but I just want to thank you for going through that. I mean, I appreciate the visual aid and being able to understand, you know, I'm a more visual person. So being able to really see what blockchain looks like and seeing, you know, what it means for ranchers. And I really think you did a great job saying that, you know, this is a method of being able to add more value to your herd, because data sells, and that it's secure and safe, and that ultimately the rancher has control of who gets to see their data, depending on, you know, what organization they're a part of, how they access this blockchain technology. And really it's their choice of where it goes. So I appreciate you, you know, putting an emphasis on that and explaining that. I guess I do have a few questions for you. Now, what would you say is kind of holding back the adoption of this technology? Because other industries are using it. So what do you think is holding back the beef industry from adopting this more?
Well, as you know, the beef industry is a very conservative industry. I love it. I'm fascinated by it. I love the people. They're just hardworking, honest people. But a little bit slow to change, you know, a little bit, you know, not wanting to adopt new technologies. I think the, you know, to answer your question about what's holding them back is it's just probably being a little bit leery about these things we talked about, you know, data privacy and security and you know, some ranchers are worried about government interference and they don't want their data, quote unquote, out there. And that's why we put security and privacy at the forefront of everything we do, as in, I think all of these companies in our industry do, because they know they have to.
Awesome. Now, when we look at adopting this and moving into it, as we do start to make those changes, and hopefully people jump on this sooner rather than later, mm-hmm. but what mindset does the industry need to have to make this technology the most effective and beneficial for them? What's that mindset they need to have?
Well, I think to sum it up, I think they're going to have to be forward thinking. I think they need to not be so afraid of change, you know, because they also have to be, they have to be oriented around the value of data. You know, people tell me every day, you know, there's no way anybody's going to use this, right? And I simply respond by saying, you know, you might be right. Maybe they won't, but I bet you that their sons and daughters will. I bet you their grandchildren will, because that's just the way everything is going. You know, look around. People are, you know, staring at their phones all day long in restaurants and everywhere. It's just the way we do things. We make our airline reservations online. We do our banking online. We and it's just something that I think people not only like, but they expect. And I think as you know, if we're talking about sustainability, then we, you know, there's a lot of aspects of sustain. One aspect of sustainability is how do you make sure that the future generations want to be in this business? And I think if the future generations are so, if they are used to using data, then we have to make data part of this thing too.
I think those are excellent points. And I do think, you know, as technology becomes more common, yes, the beef industry is slower to adapt to it, it seems like, but as it becomes more common and more used, I would hope that the adoption of those technologies comes sooner. So, you know, what do you think will happen to the value of these premiums as more and more cattle get on the system or get on premium systems? Like, what do you think the future of the industry looks like as far as value added programs go?
Well, I think, you know, let's be clear. We're not going to trump the supply and demand economics. Okay. That's not going to happen. But I think what we will see is that the quality will go up, because I don't see that if you have bad quality, let's say animals, you're not going to want to put them on the system. You know, I think that, you know, if you're going to put something on the system for everybody to see, it's probably going to be better quality. It's going to be, and so because you're sort of competing with the good quality out there. One example I like to use, and this kind of I think is a good analogy to use of this is Carfax. Okay, so you know what Carfax is. Back in the day, we all used, well, not someone as young as you, but back in the day, us old folks used to sell cars all the time, buy and sell cars, and we didn't know if the car had been wrecked. We didn't know if it had bad engine, if it was flooded, you know, there, nothing. But these days, we wouldn't dare buy a car without checking the Carfax, okay? And we, even to the point where if you found a car that you liked, but it didn't have Carfax with it, you would be leery that there might be something wrong with it. Okay, so that's just the way you do business. Okay, you don't buy a car without checking the Carfax. Well, I think that's just what this is. I think this is sort of like Carfax for cows, right? So this is, will provide the data that's associated with that asset, okay? And then people are selling cars. They're buying and selling cars right now. They're not worried about, you know, the privacy of the previous owner of that car or anything. They just care about the car, okay? They just care about the data on the car. So I think that as more and more people start to use these systems, it's going to become normal, and it's going to become just the way you do business. You know, you go and you buy cattle and you need some data attached to them. So that's how you know how good they are, you know? And so I'm hoping that this is the way that people do business in the future.
Well, awesome. I mean, I think you covered every question I had for you, but do you have anything else you would like to add for the audience or hit on again? You know, these last couple minutes or this last question or prompt is up to you to really share anything else you'd like to add, Greg.
Well, again, that I appreciate you inviting me on your podcast. I just want to say, I hope people aren't scared of blockchain. I hope they don't think that it's all about Bitcoin or anything. It's just a way to record transactions. And it happens in the background that you won't even know it's there, but I hope you can feel secure that it's there protecting your data and making everybody know that the data is accurate. Because again, these guys and gals out there, they work so hard and they're such good folks. And we just want to provide a good platform for them to show off their hard work and to show the world that you know, they have, they're producing a good quality product. And I hope that you get involved. I hope these producers get involved because we can bring value to the industry.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much, Greg, for hopping on. It was great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Shay. And if y'all need anything, be sure to reach out.
And that's a wrap on that one, folks. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you, Greg, for joining me on the show. Remember to go follow Cattle Convos on social media to engage in more conversation about this topic. Have a great day.